Genesis 27. 27th chapter, book of Genesis. And we've been dealing with this subject the last couple weeks about the dysfunctional family here out of the book of Genesis, and finding out you don't have to have social media, Hollywood, hip-hop music, all these nuances of sin in order to have a wrecked home. You just need a flesh, a devil, and a world, and it can become dysfunctional. Somebody say amen. Amen. We need God's help. Absolutely. Amen. We need every bit of it. And nobody's beyond it. And nobody's off limits. Everybody can be a target of the devil, and we certainly don't want to be. As we bring this chapter to a close, let's look, if we would, at, for sake of time, down to verse number 43. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, arise, flee, thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran. Tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away, until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. Then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me? Let the church say amen. Our Father, we pray that you add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin. Empty me of self. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing to these thy people. Hide me behind the cross of Christ. In no way do we want to hinder the work of the Holy Spirit of God. I pray, God, that you bind Satan. Keep a hedge of protection about this place. We certainly know that he doesn't like what's going on in the church, and we don't like him to like it. So we pray, God, that you help us. Help us to live for you, and help us to please you. Help us to mind you, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We've looked at this dysfunctional home, and it spiraled into dysfunction among candidates as well as anybody that should have had a good home, a godly home. Isaac and Rebekah have a heritage. I mean, you know who Isaac's daddy was, don't you? You know who called his daddy, don't you? I mean, God found Abraham. Abraham didn't make himself somebody. God made him somebody. By the way, we're living in a society where too many people are trying to make themselves something. Amen. Our job is not to make much of us. Our job is to make much of Jesus. When you make him somebody, he'll make you somebody. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. No accolade that this world will rain on me could make me any prouder than being a child of God. And here is Abraham giving birth to Isaac. Isaac now has Jacob. By the way, Sarah gave birth to Isaac, but Abraham was the daddy. Rebekah gave birth to Jacob, but Isaac was the daddy. So we find this family with a rich history. We find this family with a rich heritage. God has been good to Abraham. God has been good to Isaac. And it ought to be that Isaac and this wonderful wife, Rebekah, that God has given to her, it ought to be that God blesses them with a good home. By the way, God wants everybody to have a good home. How many of you know that just because he wants us to have it doesn't mean we will? And so we're watching this dysfunctional family. I will not re-preach it, but we are watching one by one as each member of the family makes horrible decisions and spirals the family into an utter state of dysfunction. Now, with a daddy that's full of covenant, with a mama that's been invited in, with children that have been taught a wonderful heritage. How do we have this mess? Listen to me. Coming from good stock doesn't mean you make good decisions. And so here we are. Dysfunction begins with Esau's disappointing choice. I'm going to marry who I want to marry. And so when a child decides, regardless of what he's been taught, he's going to do what he wants to do, he is contributing to the dysfunction of the family. Now, Isaac's declining condition, daddy's getting old, his eyesight is waning on him, but his fight is too. Sometimes parents get tired of fighting. And because they give up fighting for what is worth fighting for, they contribute to dysfunction. Listen to me now. Our children are worth fighting for. Our marriages are worth fighting for. Morality is worth fighting for. Living for God is worth fighting. Listen, the Bible is worth fighting for. What God says about purity is worth fighting for. The innocence of young girls is worth fighting for. The future of Christianity is worth fighting for. We may not be able to sit on Congress and legislate laws, but God help us to sit on the couch and teach the Word of God. Isaac's getting tired. And he still wants Esau to get the blessing, even though God said it was Jacob. So he's contributing to dysfunction. And here comes Mama. She's going to jump in. Everybody else is. So she jumps in with a devious concoction. Now, we've got Esau's disappointing choice. We've got Isaac's declining condition. Now here comes Mrs. Isaac, Mrs. Rebecca. She comes with a devious concoction. Daddy wants Esau to have it. Mama wants Jacob to have it. God said Jacob could have it, but God's not just giving it to Jacob because Rebecca wants it. He's giving it to Jacob because it's his will. Now listen to me now. Just because you line up with wanting the same thing that God wants doesn't mean you're excused to get it any kind of way. Somebody didn't hear me. Just because you and God are in agreement on what you want doesn't mean the way you get it is fine. Listen to me now. God not only wants you to do his will, he wants you to do his will the right way. Just because you want to get married doesn't mean you can get married any kind of way. Just because you want to make money doesn't mean you can make money any kind of way. Just because you want to accomplish something doesn't mean you can accomplish it any kind of way. Now listen to me now. Isaac didn't line up with the will of God. He wanted Esau. Rebecca lined up with the will of God. She wanted Jacob, but she made it seem like God needed her help to get his will done. What a shame. God doesn't need our help. He wants our obedience, but he doesn't need our help. And so she comes up with a scheme. You know the story. She's going to bring Jacob in and say, let's fool you, daddy. Let's fool you, daddy. And you heard me say a couple of weeks, and I'll say it again. Parents that are working on different sides for the same home are contributing to dysfunction. Mama should never be scheming against daddy. Daddy should never be scheming against mama. They ought to be on the same page. Amen. Amen. They've been taught from the same page. They ought to be living off the same page. And so here she comes with her devious concoction, and now Jacob buys in with his deceptive commission, walks in there and lies to his daddy and mocks the Lord and misrepresents love and manipulates his livelihood, and all of a sudden he's forcing a situation that did not have to be. He goes in there and says, yeah, my name is Esau. Lie. Yeah, I've done what you said. Lie. Listen to me now. It never pays to lie, even when you're trying to do something good out of. Here it happens. And here comes the distraught conclusion. Here comes Esau in afterwards, doing what he's supposed to do. I mean, he's the one daddy did send out to go get some food, right? Go kill the animal and bring it back and make that savory meat that you make. And here comes Esau doing what he said. And all of a sudden, he finds out that the blessing he's coming to get has already been stolen by his brother. Now watch this now. We've got a brother at odds with each other, all because of pride and selfishness. Daddy is waning in his perception. Mama is deceptive in her plan. Jacob is compliant with a deceptive plan. Esau now is distraught. Now watch this now. When he comes back and he finds out what happens, all of a sudden he's surprised. He begins to cry. He's absolutely angry. He doesn't know what he's going to do, and he's full of animosity. Now you've got a home that's meant to be united that's about to be divided. Write down number 6, the dividing compulsion. This is where we pick up tonight. The dividing compulsion. All of a sudden, Mama finds out these brothers are at war and my favorite can't fight. That's not in the Bible, but I guarantee you she's thinking it. I mean, Jacob was a homeboy. Huh? Esau was an outdoors boy. Huh? Jacob worked in the kitchen and Esau worked in the field. Christians shouldn't bet, but if God let us, who you betting on? Esau, 10 out of 10. He gonna knock Jacob out. And Mama's got good enough sense to know it. Now listen what she says. Listen what she says. 43. My son, obey my voice. Go to my brother Laban. Get out of here. There's an obvious feud going on. 41, Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing. Look at what Esau's plan is. As soon as daddy dies, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. Esau says, mark it down. I'm going to let daddy die in peace. But once he does, I'm killing him. Can I say to you, it ought to still bother us when families, which are meant to be a harbor of love, become a place of hatred. And nowadays, I preach so many funerals and counsel so many people, it amazes me how many people who are related can't stand each other. And what it took to bring them there, the obvious feud, the orchestrated force, and because of a feud, he was forced to leave. Forced to leave home prematurely. Forced to leave home when he didn't want to. Listen, she says, get out of here. Get out of here. Get out of here. How many times have we seen feuds become a force? We've seen people that left where they could have been. We've seen people that didn't stay where they could have stayed. We've seen people that didn't continue how they couldn't have could have continued because the feud demands a force. And then there's overwhelming fear. Until thy brother's anger, 45, turn away from me, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. Then I will send. Then I will send. Look at verse 46. I'm weary of my life. Because of the daughters of Heth. And by the way, these are Hittites, Canaanites. Okay, these are Canaanite people. Remember, God had promised this land to Abraham, but here's her fear. My son Jacob is going to marry people of the wrong place. I'm weary of him. You see what friction? You see what's happening now? Now all of a sudden I've got to send him away. And while I send him away, I don't know what he's going to do. I'm worried about what's going to happen in my home. By the way, have you ever been away from your kids and worried about what they do? Boy, I got a lot of amens right there. That's where she was. But watch this. She can't let him stay and help him because there's friction. See how the devil busts up things? You can't love like you want to love. You can't invest like you want to invest. You can't protect like you want to protect because there's a feud that
makes a force that turns into fear all because of friction. Listen to me now. Only by pride cometh contention. Now here's what I want to say before I go into chapter 28. If there is a feud, if there is a force, if there is unresolved fear, if there is left alone friction that exists in your family, deal with it before it deals with you. Talk about it. Sit down. Now listen to me. Dividing compulsion is where this dysfunction ends up. And here's what I'm telling you. Unresolved friction will always result in divide. Does anybody listen to me now? It will always result in divide. If you don't deal with the friction between you and your wife, eventually it will divide you. And by the way, just because you're living together don't mean you're not divided. Somebody say amen. Listen to me now. You better deal with whatever you have with your parents. You better deal with whatever you have with your siblings. You better deal with whatever you have. And by the way, since I'm talking about a dysfunctional family, and in context, we're talking about our immediate biological family, can I also tell you there's a greater family that we can use this application to, and that is the family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the blood. Amen. I'm glad I'm going to heaven. And all of us that are saved, regardless of what biological or physical family we were born in. Aren't you glad when we were born again? We were born not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You don't need to just be right with your biological family. You need to be right with your spiritual family. Get it right. Get it right. As best as you know how, get it right. Because unresolved, see, people stay apart when they haven't gotten right. You hear me? Now here's what she should have said. We need to sit these boys down. I'm their mother, and honey, you're their father, and God gave us a mandate as parents to raise them right. I know they're grown, but they're never too grown to learn. Come on, and neither are we. Now let's shut these boys down and say, you wrong him and you wrong him, and ask for forgiveness, and let's get this thing right. Hey, listen to me. Don't you think it would be better to resolve instead of being resentful? But no, that's not what she says. She says, get out of here before he kills you. Get out of here before he kills you. And once he forgets about it, I'll bring you back home. How many of you know people don't forget about it? God doesn't intend us to put distance between our ought. God intends us to reconcile our ought. By the way, you can sweep it under the rug, but eventually the rug's going to move. Somebody's going to look up underneath that rug. Instead of sweeping things, let's pick them up and throw them away and get them right. And we're living in a day and age where nobody wants to fix anything. Just tell them off and go on about your way. Just write a long post to them on Facebook and act like you've handled it. Huh? Don't bring it up. Avoid being caught in the bathroom with them. Huh? Go out, there's enough doors around here. Pick a different door. Looking all around the corner like you undercover. Trying to make sure you don't run into who you have aught with. Huh? Just don't speak, just avoid. Church big enough for y'all both to come and not get along. Let me tell you something. Let the devil fool you. He's in the process of dividing. You are a contributor to dysfunction. You will slow down the effectiveness of the body of Christ if you are a member of it harboring aught with the brethren. Get your mess right. Amen. I want to say, to the glory of God, I do not know a person on planet Earth with whom I'm harboring bitterness. I wouldn't be able to preach. I wouldn't be able to sleep right. I know some people get on my nerve. Now, if you don't have any people get on your nerves, you have other problems. A lying problem. about people getting on your nerve. But you know what helps me when people get on my nerve not to be bitter? Reminding myself that I probably get on theirs. You know, every time you say something, I don't like the way they are, they get on my nerves. Yeah, it's about 10 people think that about you. And we only got 10 slots. There's a whole lot more, but we only got 10 slots. You gotta be careful. Harboring bitter. Now listen. I'm trying to get to 28. You want me to get there? That was a rhetorical question. You cannot choose what people do to you, but you will choose whether you're bitter. Now I hear people say all the time, I'm bitter because of what somebody did to me. Wrong. You're bitter because you chose to get bitter about it. Everybody has something to do wrong to them. Nobody any more than the Lord Jesus Christ. He was reviled and reviled not back again. Let me tell you something. You can't choose. Well, you don't know what they did to me. You don't know how bad they hurt me. You don't know how hard it is to forgive. You don't know how much it really put me through. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know how wrong they were. No matter how wrong somebody is, it doesn't give you the right to be wrong too. Amen. Let me tell you something. You choose bitterness, lest any root of bitterness spring up in you and thereby ye be defiled. The devil is a divider. The devil is a destroyer. Don't let him win. You've heard me say it. Don't side with the enemy. He's a liar and he wants you to be bitter. God wants you to be better, not bitter. This functional family. Now we're going to turn the page to chapter 28 and we're going to watch Jacob leaving. Entitling a brand new section. He's a homeboy, but he can't stay home. He's used to living in the house. He's used to being up on the bubble. He's used to being in his comfort zone. He's used to living with his family. Yes, he is. But he can't stay. Listen, the only thing he's known is this home. And yet, he's got to leave. Daddy's dying. Mama's worried. Brother's mad. Jacob's got to go. How's he going to make it? I tell you how he's made it thus far. He got the birthright by scheming. Come on. He got the blessing by sneaking. And now he doesn't have mama to help him. He doesn't have Esau to trick. He's got to leave and go where he's never gone. He's gone from a homeboy to a pilgrim. And he's leaving the house with nothing to go on. This next section, I want you to write it down. It will take several weeks to preach on this chapter in the life of Jacob. I've entitled it, When Faith is All You've Got. Now, maybe you organize your life to never get to that point. But the problem is, if you don't ever get to this point, you'll never get to where God's taking you. See, where God's taking you requires faith. See, so many times we are so intent on assembling the things around our lives to never cause us to be out of our comfort zone. I gotta have this stash. I gotta have these people. I gotta be close enough to familiarity. I must have a contingency plan. And as long as I've got all these, now things may go wrong, but I always got a backup plan. Things may mess up, but I always got a back door to go out of. People may leave me, but my Ace Boone Coon always gonna be there. I may go through a tough situation, but I know I can always fall back. Listen to me. In Genesis 28, he doesn't have any fallback plan. He doesn't have any contingent plan. Scheming ain't gonna work. Sneaking ain't gonna work. He's gotta leave unexpectedly. He's been evicted prematurely. He's gotta get out the house unplanned. He's headed to a land that's uncharted. He's gotta leave the house. But wait a minute now. He's still a child of the covenant. He is still a child of the promise. God's still gonna make something great of his family and multiply. multiply his seed. Surely God's going to keep his promise. But how does he get from here to there with nothing to go on? I'll tell you, you got to go on faith. And some of you are at a juncture in your life right now when faith is all you've got to go on. And I'm telling you, it's enough. It's enough. Don't just think that you have to be in a dysfunctional home for this message to qualify. Some of you financially, faith's all you got. So listen. We're praying for some people right now. Physically, medically, faith's all they got. Come on. Some of you, when it comes to your kids, faith's all you got. There's no way out. Come on now. For some of you getting married, faith's all you got. I just want to see if you signed it right. Amen. Faith's all you got. But it's enough. Matter of fact, listen to what the scripture said. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now listen. We are willing to try faith when there are no other options. But God says it's wrong not to have faith even when there are other options. When faith is all you've got. Right now, number one, let me just give you maybe one or two thoughts out of here. The favorable decree. The favorable decree. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him. Now, that big old fiasco we just looked at, right? Esau, Jacob, this big mess. Esau is mad because Jacob stole it. Rebecca scared because she made a scheme, didn't pay off. You ever tried to go around God and find out you ran right into him? Come on. Absolutely. And here's Jacob. He's leaving, getting ready to go. But isn't it amazing that in chapter 28, after all that mess, look what happened. Isaac still called him and blessed him. Now this is what's saying to me. That there are some things we do that throw the plan awry. But aren't you glad that God still has a plan and God still has a purpose, and there are some things we can't shut down? Jacob still got blessed. Amen. Write this down. The faithful, F-A-T-E-F-U-L, faithful imputation. This was his fate, and it was a positive one. He got blessed. In the womb, God said he was going to bless Jacob and not Esau. In the womb, God said, the younger would be served by the older. And it looked like in chapter 27, with all the mess that went on, that maybe God's plan would be shut down. But I'm glad that despite the hiccup, Jacob still got blessed. Now, right down on top of this faithful imputation, God imputed blessing on him from his daddy. Right down the father's intention. But he's charging him. Yeah, with blessings comes responsibilities. Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. No. We don't fool with these women. You're blessed and you ought to be glad about it. But you ain't blessed to be a mess. You're going to go to Padanaram. To the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father. Listen, homeboy. You're going to get you a home girl. Not here, there. Now listen. You've been concocting and you've been scheming. And you shouldn't have. But God still has a plan for your life. And I'm going to bless you with the blessing that God gave me. But with my imputation is also going to come an intention. Don't mess this thing up, Jacob. We've already got a broken up family, but you got a chance to establish your own family. And don't let the mistakes that have been made here make you make more mistakes there. Is anybody listening? See, if we're not careful, we will let the stench of indiscretion follow us for the rest of our life. Huh? It's almost like Daddy is saying, son, chapter 27 was a mess. And it's all over your clothes. But put them in the washer. Put them in the washer. Listen, just because you stunk yesterday don't mean you got to stink today. Somebody help me preach. Now, listen, if we're not careful, we will program ourselves for stench because we've gotten so used to it. Listen to me. Do you mean to tell me that I'm trying to downplay what he did in Genesis 27? I'm telling you what his mama and he did in that chapter was disgraceful, and they shouldn't have done it, and God was not going to overlook it. But I'm telling you one thing. He is still the promised child. He is still the child of the covenant, and he's got to get up from yesterday's mistakes and go do it right. Now, here's what he's saying. You got this blessing. And don't run out here and be a mess. I'm going to tell you where to find a wife. Don't you let the dysfunctional past produce a dysfunctional future. Listen, I'll tell you why. Because God is going to take Jacob's decisions from this day forward. And although he's walking away from Esau in chapter 28, with obeying God, God is going to walk him back to Esau down the road. Is anybody listening? Don't water the ground of bitterness. If circumstances put you in a predicament to do things you wouldn't have done by choice, you can't change them. But what you can do, instead of mourning all of the seeds that you've sown in the flesh that will grow weeds, you can determine today, I'm going to start sowing new seeds in the spirit. And here's what he's saying. First thing you're going to have to do, buddy, you can't stay here. You're going over. But I'm telling you, you better go find you a good woman from your mama's family. Notice the fresh inspiration he gave him. And God Almighty bless thee, make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people. Listen, this is covenant right here, folks. And by the way, Genesis chapter 28 is not God rewarding Jacob for sin. It is God keeping his promise. Somebody say amen. You better be glad that God's a covenant God, and our knuckleheadedness doesn't wipe away the covenant. I'm glad he's still my father even when I act like a fool. I'm glad the blessings still fall. Listen to me. I don't want you to get this out of context. I'm not saying that God doesn't chastise. God's going to deal with him. I'm not saying that God doesn't judge. Oh, yes, he does. I'm not saying that God overlooks sin and downplay. I'm just simply saying I'm glad that the covenant that I entered with God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ is not contingent upon my works, is not contingent upon my merits. Let me tell you, when I was a four-year-old boy, I knelt beside that bed and trusted Christ as my Savior. There have been a litany of mistakes that I've made since I was four, but today God looks at me as his son, not because of what I've done, not because of what I'm preaching, not because of where I stand, but because I entered a blood covenant sealed by the Lord Jesus Christ, and nothing shall separate me from his love. And Jacob needed to be reminded, don't live in the future based on your mistake in Genesis 27. Live based on the covenant that God gave Abraham. And I'm telling you, in these last days, why churches and families and Christians are falling apart is because they are living according to culture and not according to covenant. You are not what the news says you are. You are what the Lamb's Book of Life says you are. You are not what society says you are. You are who God says you are. You are not what statistics say you are. You are who God says you are. You are not what Congress says you are. You are who God says you are. You are not Generation Next, X, Q, R, S, T, or U, V. You are the children of God. Live like you're in covenant. I know covenant's an Old Testament word, but it's a New Testament practicality. We are in covenant with God through Christ. And God is telling Jacob through his daddy Isaac, look here, buddy, you tried to go around the plan of God last chapter, and it didn't go out well. But I'd like to remind you that we're still on the timeline. The show is still going on. God is still building a people called Israel with whom he's going to remain in covenant. And your little hiccup in 27 better not define you in 28. I wish I could borrow about 19. Amen. And you need to determine by the grace of God. It's a choice. That you're not going to live defined by your blunders. Instead, you're going to live defined by your blessing. Well, let me close with this thought here. This fateful imputation. Thanks to God. Thank God that sometimes fates can turn out good when God controls them. Thank God we don't get what we deserve. That's mercy. Amen. And don't look for mercy in the Bible to only be there when you see the word mercy. It's there. Even if it's not there, it's there. The Father's intention, the fresh inspiration, the fruitful inclusion. Yeah, buddy. You know what God said to Abraham? You know what God said to me? You in it too, man. Listen, son, you're in this thing. You're in this covenant. Listen, parents, let's not somehow get closer to the finish line without letting these children know they're in this thing with us. They're in this. Listen. They're not custodians of some new movement. They're not blazing some new. They didn't dig up some new gold in Christianity that we were too outdated to figure out. No. They need to take the baton and march in the covenant that we marched in. Amen. Notice the followed instruction. He did it. Verse 5. Isaac sent away Jacob, and he what? He went. He went to Paddan Aram under Laban, son of Bethuel, Syrian, brother of Rebekah, Jacob. These family members he don't even know. Hello, uncle, auntie, cuz. Mama said we can. Now we're laughing. Hey, this boy's leaving the house alone. He's on this lonely excursion based on his daddy that he just tricked. And now daddy looks at him and says, son, get out of here. Before you get, here's the blessing. But with the blessing comes a burden. Go to your mama's family and find a wife. I'm blessing you, but if you're going to handle the blessing effectively, you better marry right. That's a whole nother message. And a whole lot of people start fumbling their blessing because they got the wrong spouse. She come all in there, honey, don't put it down. Come sit by me. You better get you a wife that's going to help you properly handle your blessing. Amen. And you better be one that'll help her. Amen. By the way, you ain't the only one blessed. She's coming into it with a blessing too. Amen. So y'all need to help each other. And by the way, this is free, but I'm just going to throw it in there. You don't need to be married by going to two sides of the house and handling your own blessings separately. You need to throw them things together in the same pot and handle them together.
That's my way. I just believe
you don't want his last name, you shouldn't marry him. Now you can run and tell that. The world has a way of telling us two shall be one and two at the same time. You can't be one and two. You one or two. Two become one. If you don't want to become one, then don't become one. Amen. That's not fuzzy math. That's good math. It amazes me that some of the last words his father would say to him before he sent him out was, "Marry right." Next most important decision after salvation, who you marry. Marry right. So when your parents start telling you, "Don't date that person," or "Let me talk to that person," or "Pull up that person's fingerprints," don't get mad. Are you afraid you're going to find something? Around here, we've got children's ministry. We want everybody who works with children to be fingerprinted. Now, I'm trying to tell you, if you don't want your fingerprints run before you work with children, you make me think something we're going to find. Amen. Amen. I mean, what you scared of? And if you don't want nobody to know, just say, "I'm not going to work with children." We're not going to go look up in your business. But why in the world should we not check out these things? I don't know how I got off on that. I'm just telling you, they're saying, "Son, you got to get this thing right. God is putting too much on your shoulders to be walking with someone with whom you don't agree." Be careful who you trying to hook up with. Amen. You singles that want to get married, I'm praying for you. Pray for you today, especially these girls. I'm praying for the boys too. I'm going to pray especially for the girls. We'd knock somebody out over these girls in Jesus' name. But I'm promising you, young ladies, wait on the right one. I promise you, you would rather go through life wanting something you never had rather than having something you never wanted. And I'm telling you, wait on the Lord. You can do bad by yourself. You fellas too. There's some of these wild women out here. You don't fool it either. Let's not make it look like the girls only one get bad in the stick. Some of these guys marry some devils. Amen. Amen. And they'll mess up your future. She'll spin up your blessing faster than you got it. And I'm not just talking about dollars. I'm talking about flesh. Stop kissing on that girl, Pascal. Are you kissing on her? When you say, "Oh, okay." Whispering in her ear. All right. I have to get used to the fact they married. I'm about to tell him, move away from that girl. Then I realize I married them two precious kids. He's all bundled all up with arm around her, whispering in her ear, "I want to throw a hymn book at him." And then the Holy Ghost of God said, "That's his wife." Do you ever think like that? Some of you look over there and then realize, Brother Hawkins, you think about that? That boy over there, arm all around my daughter, break his fingers off one by one. And then the Holy Ghost said, "They got married." They got married. That's why you got to think before you do something, okay? You done hurt somebody and they're not even wrong. So, you all are really, you're having a good time tonight. Yeah. That kick starts kicking in. I wanted to get on, let's close, huh? You think so? I want to get on Esau because Esau's still doing his thing. And I'll get back to him next week. But I want us to see this decree that Isaac is putting on his son. Despite the failure of the prior chapter, Daddy wants Isaac to walk in covenant. I think we could all borrow some parenting tools from this, because every one of us has to deal with our children, young and old, after they mess up. And we're going to have to find a way to get out of chapter 27 into chapter 28. We cannot speak to our children for the rest of their lives in condemnation of their failure. We're going to have to learn how to speak in commendation and consolation of their future. In other words, you acted like you didn't have no sense in 27, and I was about to act like I didn't have none either. But by the grace of God, we're going to turn the page in chapter 28 and remind you God still has a plan for your life, instead of talking to you in degradation of what you did in the last chapter. We're going to talk to you with determination. Get up from your mistake and get back on covenant track. Amen. Sometimes our tone is so negative, and we wonder why their actions are. We just harp on everything that was wrong. And Isaac could have spent the rest of Genesis. I mean, he was an old man. Well, until I die, I'm going to tell you about how you fooled me with them skins on your arms and everything, and you and your mama, I can't believe y'all did this to me. I will never forgive you. And you're laughing, but some of you might have said that. I can never forgive. Aren't you glad Isaac wasn't like that? Listen, this fella's getting ready to die. I don't have time for grudges. I got to get right before I get out of here. Flip the page, 28. Boy, I bless you. Now go find you a good woman. God sure gave me one. That's what he, didn't he? God gave him one. You remember that story when Isaac got him a wife? He didn't even get to go get his. He's probably looking at Jacob saying, at least you get to pick yours. My daddy's servant had to pick my. You talk about when you only got faith to go on. I had faith in God and that servant. If ever I wanted him to get it right, it was that day. Now, son, you're going to have a chance. But I wouldn't be a good daddy if all I did was give you good stuff without teaching you how to handle it. So here's the blessing. Take it. But as you go, marry right. And wherever you are tonight, not just about marriage, it's about stewardship. When God blesses you, don't just run with the blessing and go post on Facebook, ooh, look what I got. Thank God for your new car. Amen. Drive it to church. Okay? Don't just go run down the highway with your windows down, showing everybody about your new car. You might need to drive in the hood and pick up some children on a Wednesday night and bring them to church. That's why God blessed you. Because you don't want to foul up the blessing. Esau already did. Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Thank you for helping us, all of us. My, we need help. And I pray you're working in us for your glory, for our good. Please, God. In Jesus' name, amen.